Help us keep the shows flowing to your ears. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com. Click on the Support Our Work tab.
Yeah.
And show us a little bit of love. Welcome to another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. In studio with me is Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
And Podcat's laying around. One of the pod kittens is laying around the studio, so that's kind of nice. Podcat has taken a real liking to Lisa Murphy this trip, and I'm kind of feeling jealous.
Not sure why.
Yeah, you must smell different or something.
I must, because I just went out before we started, and he walked me to the bathroom. I'm like, I need to go pee. And the cat's like, let me come with you. She waited outside. He waited outside.
I think it must be that new tuna fish deodorant you're using.
Is that what it is?
That might be it. Hey, so this episode, before we get started, I want to talk to you a little bit about something. UnCon 2017 in Edmonton is over half booked. And not a lot of slots left for that, if any, by the time you're listening to this. We've got the next 4 years after that mapped out. We're going to be going to San Francisco in 18 and Toronto and... Oh, Toronto's in there, and Nashville's in there.
And then New Orleans. We just know that's in New Orleans.
Nolens is in there. So some fun time if you want to hang out with me and Lisa and maybe Dan Hodgins, and maybe we'll see who we end up. I mean, some of those years are a long ways away. And anyway, if you want to come and hang out and do fun stuff with us, check that out at Explorations Early Learning and click the UnCon tab, and it'll get you that information. Fun times. This episode, Stupid Rules, Part 7.
Let's talk about that for 1 second. We've been on that 7 episodes.
Apparently, there's a lot of stupid rules out there, and 7 won't be the last.
I doubt it.
We put out a call on the interwebs for stupid rules, and y'all keep throwing them at us, and... the next one's more stupider than the last
stupid.
One.
Stupid. And remember, it's stupid rules.
STOOPIDRULZ. If you're wanting Gangster. To make sure you spell it right. So let's roll into these. What's the first one we're going to talk about, Lisa Murphy?
Well, we're going to go in order. Except the one we added.
The insert.
Infants in a crib, if they are still... not able to stand, the cribs can be touching, touch. But as soon as the babies can stand up, the cribs have to be 3 feet apart, because when they stand up and talk to each other, now they can spread germs. Because, you know, those germs didn't exist
before that,
while the babies were just laying around next to each other.
So let's try to figure out how standing up and talking moves the germs about. It. They're waving their arms.
Or maybe they're spitting. They're vomiting.
Yeah,
on
maybe
each
they're
other
projectile
now.
Vomiting.
The breath is making it carry farther.
Yeah, maybe the moisture of their breath.
That's yes. Me breathing.
Is that you? You got germs on me.
I did.
Oops. Actually, to keep the germs off us while we're recording, we all seal ourselves hermetically sealed in
with
plastic
bags. A straw
bags.
Insert for the beverages to come through.
Yeah, a straw, one for beverages and one for oxygen. Obviously, we need both. And that's how we communicate. So that's just stupid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and if you're new to this, just as an FYI, sometimes there's no big, like, you know, philosophical aha at the end of it. It's just, hey, guys. This is stupid.
So, and I mean, they require them to do the same thing with cots. Cots got to be so far apart now, and because of germs.
What just is so crazy about that is it implies that there's no germs anywhere else or at any other time other than when people are in close contact with each other. If that was actually true, like subways should be banned. You know, the lines at Disneyland should be banned.
Walking down the street.
I mean, you're surrounded by this stuff.
Yeah, germs are
everywhere,
like almost all over the place.
They are.
And mostly not doing most of us a lot of damage most of the time because they're just part of the environment. And I think we freak the heck out too much about this stuff. And it's part of this. We've built up an economy around our fear.
I was just going to say.
I mean, people make money off of this stuff. There are people, their job is to keep us scared of germs. I mean, that might not be what it says in the job description, but they're out to sell us all kinds of stupid stuff that doesn't really have an impact, and creating these stupid rules, it's a pain in the ass.
Which might have germs.
Oh, it might have germs. not as
you wash your hands afterwards.
I think if you read some of the in-depth research they do on television shows, not as many germs at the bottom of your purse.
I've heard your computer keyboard is the dirtiest thing, and money. Computer keyboards and cash dollars.
Well, I know my keyboard is.
Oh, yes. When I used to work at Disneyland, and the leads is what they were called, they would come in and pull your cash drawer out, and then they'd go back and, you know, they were just doing occasional counts through the course of the day, whatever. But they had to rotate and had to do it in an especially ventilated room because there's trace amounts of cocaine on money to the level where you could actually, like, get a contact buzz off of that. Isn't that stupid crazy? Do you think I just made that up?
No, I was just going to say in California and Florida, where Disney lives, especially, I believe. Any more on that stupid rule, or should we go on number two?
No, because it could be a...
Then
we can go down the germ rabbit hole and be here all day.
Yeah, just wash your hands once in a while, people, and you'll be fine.
And it's not even the soap, you know that, right? It's the agitation of your hands what's actually getting rid of.
And as we're recording this, they just took all the antibacterial stuff. They just made that against the rules now, all that antibacterial stuff. So antibacterial early learning programs for decades
were mandated.
Get pushed to use antibacterial soap, and now we finally realized antibacterial soap is bullshit and bad for you, and we finally
Some of us have been saying for a while. Yeah, so here's my curiosity killed the cat question. What happened that caused that rule to be changed?
Science?
I'm just saying. And that goes back to one of the points we've said before, whereas when the doctors published the research, everybody's like, ooh, we must change our practice. You know, but when early childhood educators publish research, then it's like, oh, let's get a second opinion.
Whatever. Yeah. What's number two?
You got to color things the right color, duh. You know, because grass is green. Not. Have you been to upstate New York? We had a drought for the first time ever. Yeah. Everybody's grass is a shade of brown and yellow.
Yeah. And I mean, if you actually go out in the world, you see there's all kinds of colors.
Well, what if the child's colorblind? Wouldn't that be problem
for you? And why are we coloring worksheets in the first place, right?
Yeah. The sun's got to be yellow, and
have you ever seen the sun? I mean, do we know it's yellow?
Grandbaby the other day, she was talking about how she got up really early because it was still yellow and orange out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Those colors from the sunrise, and that was kind of cool. But no, see, the thing is, this is adults being controlling over stuff that really doesn't need
matter.
Their controlling. And so if you're feeling that you need to stop children from coloring things whatever color they want to color them,
you need to ask why.
Take a deep breath and ask yourself why, and do a little bit of self-reflection there. On the other hand, if you're an adult and you're coloring in your adult coloring book, just stop and go do some adulting. would you, as an adult coloring in your own, I don't know, hipster coloring book, whatever you're coloring.
Tiffany just dropped her pencil and walked out of the room.
Tiffany, you know we're talking about you. If you're an adult and you're coloring in your, I'm guessing, Harry Potter or Doctor Who coloring book, and you decide you're going to color the TARDIS green instead of blue, you know, go for it. There's not going to be another hipster. Well, no.
No, you know what? This actually could be an interesting... the other side to this. I mean, you might have extreme fans who in that particular example might get a little like, ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Like in this situation, you actually do have to color it blue.
It would be blue.
What if Gryffindor, all of a sudden, somebody used Slytherin colors to color something of Gryffindor?
Cross-contamination.
I know. You might need to, you don't even know what we're talking about.
I don't
about.
Know what you're talking about. But what if somebody was in their adult Star Wars coloring book and colored Darth Vader like purple or pink or something?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm saying somebody who could bring a totally open-ended ideology to the table could have a complete turn in some situations.
Tiffany, I'm going to need to have a response from you on this because I know
what you're... What color does the TARDIS have to be?
Blue.
Tasha says blue.
Yes.
Show of hands.
So just lay off the coloring people. And if you're working on a program that has this rule, push back and ask why and ask to see the research on why such coloring...
Well, and let's actually then even take it the next step as to where is it coming from that somebody is directing what somebody else is creating and producing on a piece of paper.
Yeah, if you got that much time in your day, maybe
play.
You could sit down and read a book or
you
something.
You need time in your day to be that picky. To be that picky about things. Colors?
Yeah.
Next.
What do you got?
They had an imposed number of books they could check out at the library. This one, and we know the person that posted this, so I might directly ask them because every library I've ever been to has a limit of how many books you could take out. So I'm not sure. We might have lost something here in translation.
Yeah.
Or they didn't want the kids taking the number that the library said they could take out. Like the library said you can have 5 books, but
the teacher's like, no, you're only allowed one.
Yeah,
I might need to gather more information.
Yeah, maybe that one shouldn't have been on the list. Don't listen to that last one.
This one was kind of interesting. They had to, and it was a required. Am I correct? It was a required fire extinguisher next to a furnace that they never used, but they did not have to have one next to the wood stove that they were actively using.
I
don't know if that's stupid as much as it's just inconsistent and kind of silly. Well, and probably common sense would dictate that you put one next to the
thing that you're using.
And
the rubric says you got to have them at these places, and so we follow what's on the printed page instead of what makes most sense in reality. And so when we get tied in to regulations and curriculum and all these kind of things too much instead of relying on best practices in the moment in the real life situation, we kind of lose something when we give way to the bureaucracy like that.
Are you implying that we might stop thinking for ourselves?
I am not only implying, I am saying it.
I am making a living.
I am saying it loud and proud and bold. We don't really think about some of this stuff sometimes. And it said on somebody's binder that or on their clipboard that they needed this extinguisher here, and that's where it's got to be. And that's just kind of a weird way to go through life.
Okay, so one just popped up on Twitter that I'm gonna throw in. I think we've already talked about it though. But no running at recess is the rule she's dealing with, which I think we've unpacked before.
Yeah, we got another one on the list someplace. No running on the concrete.
You could run on the grass,
but not on the concrete.
But what if it was recess?
Or what if it was pea gravel?
What if all you had was concrete?
No running.
Yeah.
Now this next one. We actually had to boast this one up the list a little because it needed some attention. They were not allowed to hold the babies because the babies would get used to being held. That's beyond stupid. That's like stupid to the 11th degree, the nth degree. Yeah.
Well, you know, if you hold a baby,
You're spoiling them.
You're spoiling them, and they're going to want to be held, and then they're going to expect you to change them and feed them and all that kind of stuff. It gets really complicated after that when you got to attend to them. So it's much better to
leave them.
And
they're not mobile yet. Where are they going to go?
Oh yeah, and maybe that shrink wrap stuff.
Oh yeah,
maybe that keeps the germs off of them and keeps them immobile. So maybe that would make things a little bit easier. Hold the babies. If you're working in a place that doesn't want you to hold the babies,
quit.
Quit, please.
And tell all of the parents why you're quitting.
And
then call the Channel 10.
Yeah, babies. You know, there's this little thing about babies. They need human contact. Their brain development depends on it. Babies will die if they don't have human contact.
And we didn't just make that up.
Hold the babies. No, we didn't. I mean, we'll make stuff up now and then, but we didn't make that.
That's not one of the ones we made up.
I'm fucking be wondering what we make up. No.
That's babies. A little thing called meeting a child's needs. Could you imagine? Right now, I'm thinking to myself how I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when somebody said to somebody else, and just so you know, you're not allowed to hold the babies in the baby room.
And they said, okay.
And we talked about this on the other stupid rules things, is that response is sometimes worse than the stupid rule.
Yes.
Is that we tolerate the stupid rules without pushing back.
Okay, well, let's role play that one. You're applying for a job. I'm showing you around the program.
Okay.
Hi. Yeah.
Hey, Lisa. Glad you could come by. I want to start out. We'll get to some paperwork. I got some questions for you in a bit, but first I want to show you around the program.
Okay.
Here's our infant room.
Oh.
As you can see, all the little ones are either in their swings, sleeping or sleeping in their cribs. We don't do a lot of baby holding here. We find it makes
Yeah. Please talk to me about.
Oh sure. We find that when you hold them, they get really dependent on you, and they want that holding all the time, and so we're a program. We really really emphasize individuality and self-assuredness and independence, and we're trying, you know, if babies are getting held all the time, then they get dependent, and it doesn't help build their.
But I'm sorry, I need to interrupt you. You just said that you wanted children who, you know, are independent and self-assured, which. In order to be able to do that, babies need to have relationships and be loved and to be responded to. And if you're not being held during the day and having that physical touch and that eye contact, that's not going to happen.
Well, we find that kind of hoodoo voodoo that you're talking about kind of... With our ratios, it's really kind of difficult to give them that individualized attention. And
but that's what we know babies need. Have you heard of attachment theory?
Attachment theory. Is that new band that's playing down at the Rose Room later this week?
No. It's an understanding that in order for a child to be securely attached, that child knows that they're trusted, that they're going to have their basic needs met. That means that adults are paying attention to them. Well, and a part of doing that would be to hold them and to talk to them and actually have that physical touch. And if they don't get that, babies can die, and their development is severely delayed.
I'm getting a text. Excuse me, just a second. Let me look. I'm sorry. My assistant director just messaged that the position has been filled.
And that might be for the best. Thank you for your time.
And scene.
Because you wouldn't have won. You'd have fired me in a week and a half anyway. Oh my gosh.
Hold the babies. Hold the babies. What's the next one?
And run away from any place.
Yeah, that absolutely.
I mean, that's serious. Run.
There. You'll find a different job. Go. Don't you? And you'll want to kill yourself if you work on that program for too long.
Ugh. Okay, hold on. I'm regrouping. The wood chips have to stay on the ground. Well.
Yeah, it was wood chips and stones and all that stuff has to
God stay forbid on you the pick ground. Up the stuff that's on the ground.
That's what we call loose parts, isn't it?
Could you imagine? Like if you were going to the beach and somebody said, "Don't touch the sand.
Don't touch don't that sand. That,
don't put that sand in that
no
bucket.
Shells.
No shells. You need those here."
And you know, just say, but how do you enforce it? How do you make that rule? And
right,
you become now wood chip cop.
Exactly, the wood chip police.
Yep. Hey, you. What do you got in your hand?
Nothing. It's not in my hand. It's in my pocket.
Okay, I'm gonna need you to.
It's in the bucket.
I'm gonna need you to pull your pockets inside out and open your hands.
My mama said I didn't have to.
Your mama's not here. Are you packing wood chips?
But only because I said that I was gonna bring them over there and we were using them to make castles.
Are you playing?
End scene.
Crap. Again, that sounds like another program that you should run from. You can't hold the wood chips. You can't hold the babies.
So if you don't want them to touch the hands. Wood chips, yeah, right, don't use your hands. Just chop your hands off. So then that means if you don't want them to touch it, you shouldn't have it in the first place, right? This is what we know.
Yeah.
So that means that you should just have a bare cement yard.
Without any running.
Without no running. Exactly. You saw where I was going.
Maybe we shouldn't ask for stupid rules anymore.
I'm starting to get a headache.
It makes me sad.
It makes me
a little bit sad. Okay, we got time for one more.
Ooh, let's make it a good one. Hold on. Where's the one they have to have their hands up? After children wash their hands.
2-year-olds.
They have to keep their hands in the air as they walk back from the bathroom they're going to the table or
to
whatnot.
Eat lunch, yeah. And part they wanted to train them, apparently, from our understanding, was to keep their hands in the air while they sat down in their chairs before they ate as well, because that was gonna keep them
from
protected
germs,
from the germs.
The cross contamination.
And my gosh, don't get to near a child that's awake standing up in a crib. While you're doing that,
it looks like jail. I mean, and the message that you're being given is that we don't trust you, and the environment should be clean enough to where this is not a problem. Anything wrong with having kids wash their hands before they sit down and have a meal that I know they're going to eat with their hands anyway after they've been outside playing and whatever they've been doing? Probably not. Not the hill I'm going to die on. But to make it look like there's so much in the... Like they're living in a hazmat, situation. That then should be what's getting our attention. Not these stupid things that we do to kids.
Yeah, and I mean, it also displays a fundamentally flawed understanding of germ theory and basic
Somebody
science.
Somebody should get a master's in germ theory so they could just be a... On call, always consultant for us.
I don't know if this is coming from staff, or is this is coming from health department people, or if this is coming from administration. But wherever it's coming from, it's flawed. And I know all those places, there are people that are getting bad information. They're getting bad information from directors and administrators and licensors and even health departments that are supposed to be on top of this kind of stuff are handing out bad information about these kind of things. And so,
well, let's say that again, because that needs to be repeated. If you say, hey, I need some clarification on where this rule is actually coming from, because you're wanting to see if it's a real rule or just somebody's preference or whatnot, and if they totally just pawn it off to the next bureaucratic group, oh, it's a licensing thing. Well, look to see what page it's on. Oh, it's the health department, the board of health, whatever. Go call them. You know, they're accessible. That's their job, is to provide you with information. So you wanting to clarify something that you've been told, that is within your right and responsibility to go after and get some more information. Don't just say okay.
Yeah, and you're not being a jerk for asking for clarification on this kind of stuff. I mean, you might be, but I mean...
No, how you say it could make you sound like a jerk.
Yeah, I mean,
hey,
if you say it the way I would, then you're obviously going to be a jerk.
No,
if it was the way Lisa or Heather Shoemaker were going to do it, then it would be polite.
Hi, my name is Lisa Murphy, and I work at such and such and such childcare center. I am wondering if there's somebody there I can speak to get some clarification on a rule that I was told that you guys are in charge of, or that you're the boss of. Are you that person? And usually the person who answers the phone is not. So I'm wondering who is there that I can speak to get some clarification on a rule that I've been told that I must comply with. Boom. Now you get that person on the phone. You say the same thing. I am Lisa Murphy. I work in such and such child care center. I'm looking to get some clarification on a rule that I've recently been told that I need to comply with. Are you somebody I can speak to? Why? Yes, ma'am. I can't. Excellent. This is what I've been told. I need to make the children walk from the bathroom to the lunch table with their hands in their air, in the air, in order to prevent cross-contamination and germ acquisition. Is this accurate? Now, I don't know what your State Department or Board of Health is going to actually... Go Hillary. The State Board of Health.
They would say that information has been deleted. They call the State Department.
I blacked out.
It's all redacted.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But what I'm saying is that I don't know what your answer is going to be, but that's all you need to do. And then if, in fact, that person says, yes, that is actually how the rule is stated, it is totally okay for you to say, can you please show me where I could get evidence and a copy of that in writing? And if, in fact, they say, actually, that's not a rule, and I'm kind of concerned as to why you thought it is one, will you please also put that in writing and then ask them to send it to you? I mean, if it's causing you this much distress, then you got to do a little bit of homework. Otherwise, you're going to need to just comply. So if you're feeling strong enough to push back, you have to actually do something about it.
And parents can do the same thing when they're seeing stupid rules in their kids' program. Hey, the hand thing in the air. You're walking through the air with your hands, and you know they don't dry their hands good, and they're picking up all kinds of germs. What they need to do is they need to put a fresh baggie on each hand as they're leaving the bathroom, and then stand there with their hands in the air and walk through the hallway with baggies, like sandwich bags, on their hands.
That's good. Let's start that. And then, we could sell those. You
can only use them once too, because they've been contaminated. Right.
So you need to make a billion of them and sell them to districts.
And so, you know, buy sandwich bag stock before you institute that rule, but I should take care of it. Any last wrap up on any of these before we call it an episode?
No, we're good. Breathe.
Hey, listeners, we really appreciate you tuning in. You know where to go to support the show, explorationsearlylearning.com, and click on support our work. If you want to do that, share the show with a friend. Think about joining us at UNCON. Check out the Early Childhood Wiki at earlychildhoodwiki.com. What else is going on? If you're looking at CEUs for training, that's probably rolled out by the time you're listening to this too. Lots of stuff going on. Glad you're a part of it. Be back soon with another episode. Bye-bye.
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 This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.